Very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Filling of the Holy Spirit simply means to allow every area of our lives to be led by the Spirit of God, and we depend upon God to help us so that every area of our lives will bring glory and honor to the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning we shall begin with one aspect, and this aspect is most important. It is most important because of all the human relationships we have on this earth. This is the only relationship that God says only till death are you allowed to part. Parent-child relationship, when the child grows up, naturally he will leave home and set up his own home, or he will leave home as he grows up and grows older. Brothers and sisters or sibling relationships, when they have their own lives, naturally they will also drift apart. Best friends will also drift apart. But the husband-wife relationship is the only relationship that God commands, only till death are you allowed to part. Who is in charge of death? God is in charge of death. In other words, God alone is allowed to part the husband and wife relationship, isn't it? And so therefore it is very important that when we marry, we make sure and we must make sure that we are marrying in the Lord. It is a marriage relationship that has been ordained by God before there was sin on this earth. God married Adam and Eve. God was there. And the Lord Jesus Christ was also there at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, where the Lord Jesus Christ did his first miracle, transforming water into the best grape juice that the people had ever drank. So we thank God for our spouses, for our wives, for our husbands. God was the one who chose them for us, not we ourselves. That is the only biblical reason for marriage, not compatibility, nor that both of us are mentally very compatible, because there will come a point in time whereby one party will cease to be compatible mentally. Their party could be stricken with Parkinson, Alzheimer disease. What will happen to your marriage then when you cease to be compatible? Well, we are of the same material status. Both of us have the same kind of standing in society. This alone will also not be sufficient, because it is again a worldly criteria that will change with the passage of time. You notice when you think of people of renown in our world, they are only well-known in your lifetime, in your age. People used to be very, very good in their younger years, but as they grow older, they cease to be very good, and they'll lose their fame and their fortune. The only biblical criteria is God chose my spouse for me. And God makes no mistakes. And since God was the one who chose my husband, my wife for me, we must therefore remain married till death do us part. And that is why when you have this biblical understanding regarding God's choice for you, your life partner, you can say the marriage vow sincerely from your heart, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part. And we sealed it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we meant every word of it. That's what Christian marriage is all about. And therefore, when you young people look for a spouse, what should be the criteria? Now, there may be some who might be married when they were unbelievers, and then they became believers subsequently, even though they may not have made the marriage vow on the day of their holy matrimony because they were not believers. But nevertheless, the moment you become a believer, the role of the Christian wife, the role of the Christian husband must still apply to you. Because you are now the child of God. And once you become a child of God, there are certain things that have changed in your life. And these changes are very important. And God wants to highlight the change that has taken place in the Christian wife, as well as the change that has taken place in the Christian husband. And so, you know that there are many different criteria, qualities of a Christian wife that God could highlight. But in this passage, pertaining to the filling of the Spirit of God, God highlights only one aspect of the Christian wife. So young people, if you want to look for a life partner, this is the criteria that you must find in the wife for the young man. And for the young lady, there is this criteria for the Christian husband that you must look for. If you do not find this criteria in that person, be wary. Don't marry. Plain and simple, because if this criteria is not found in that young lady that you plan to marry, you're going to be in serious trouble. Please understand that when marriage takes place, 1 + 1 = 1. This is something that God has designed, whereby two persons, when they get married, they become one. They do not become two. You don't believe me? You ask any couple who are really in love and who obeys the word of God. When they were not married, when they were single, they were footloose and carefree. They were very happy to be alone. A friend calls up, let's play a game of tennis. Okay, let's play. You just pack up your bag and you go. But once you get married and you are separate and you're alone, that aloneness becomes loneliness. But when we were single, how come I'm so happy when I was single? But now, once I'm attached, once I become one with the other person, now that we are separated, I'm no more one, I'm half. Something is empty, something so crucial and important in my life is missing when I'm far away from this person whom I have married. Something has changed, and this change is forever. You cannot just switch back to as if I'm single now, I'm all alone. A person who is not married, as opposed to a person who is now single after he has been married or widowed or widower, is different. You have been completely transformed and changed in ways and means that you cannot fathom or fully comprehend or fully explain. All right, that's what marriage is. So please, those who are single, choose wisely and carefully. For those who are married, please don't choose, because you have already chosen. Okay, you cannot now change your mind. All right, God has already chosen for you. So now you have to follow Christian principles, which the Bible calls filled with the Spirit of God, in how to be the best Christian wife that I can possibly can, and fill me with thy Holy Spirit to become the best Christian husband that I can possibly can. All right, so now let's look at the qualification, the mark of a Christian wife, that you must now pray and ask God to fill you with His Spirit to help you to become such a wife. Okay? Please, as a child of God, you have no choice. Wives, okay, this is a qualification. Young man, you want to look for a wife? This is what you must look for. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That's it. A very simple qualification. Out of all the qualifications, God says this is the best. So find a girl who is prepared to submit herself to you, young people, young men. It's not whether we have the same education. It's not whether she earns more, she earns less. None of these things. You must find a wife who is prepared to submit herself unto you. If she's not prepared to submit herself to you, you can forget it. That's what is asked of her during premarital counseling. This question I will ask the girl. You take a good look at this young man seated next to you. You sure you want to marry him? Because the Bible says you are to submit yourself to him. For how long? All the days of your life, as long as you are on earth and he is on earth, you are married, you are to submit yourself to him. Now you have many men in your life. You sure this is the one? Take a very good, don't answer immediately, just look at him. Look at his face with all the pimples. You look at his receding forehead. Imagine 20 years down the road, he's going to look like me. You sure or not? You think very carefully. No joke. You think carefully. You can still change your mind right now. It doesn't matter whether you have this engagement ring. You can take it off and give back to him and it's still fine. You think very carefully. Are you prepared? That's what the Bible says. Now, why did God bring this matter up? Why can't God talk about the beauty, how she can cook very well, and all these other criteria? None, only this. Do you know why? Because many thousands of years ago, something happened to our first parent. Do you remember the curse that God pronounced upon Eve? Twofold. Increased pain in childbearing, right? That part we know. And we as men have tried to neutralize this curse by inventing epidural jab. Right, so now women can give birth, no pain. But the second part of the curse, no man has been able to conquer it. From now onwards, God says, Eve, you're going to do your best to usurp the authority of the man in the home. Before sin came into you and your husband Adam, you were at peace. Adam saw Eve for the first time, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She is exactly like me. Wonderful. But now because of sin, you will try to usurp his authority and he will put you down. And that's the beginning of sorrow, quarrels between husbands and wives, right? You mean y'all don't quarrel? I know my wife and I, we don't quarrel because we are pastor's wife. Just the Elder Cole and Mrs. Cole, they don't quarrel because they're elders and elders' wife, right? Don't ask my wife, okay? We all quarrel. Why? Because of the curse. That's why you find quarrels in the home. But in the case of the Christian wife, God is now telling the Christian wife, you can now submit yourself to your own husband as if God is telling her that curse is lifted. Because you have the indwelling of the Spirit of God. You now have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, helping you, encouraging you, so that you do not need to try to overcome your husband. You can now submit to your own husband. You have to obey him and you can obey him. God never asks us to do anything that he has not already equipped us to do. Remember that. Of course, the love of the wife or the husband is, of course, an assumption that is already there. Because every believer has been given the love of God by the Holy Spirit. When he indwells us, the love of God was shed abroad into our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5, at the point of our conversion. So the Christian wife also has this love, and with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, now she can submit to her own husband. The Bible did not say whether the husband is a believer or not a believer. So even when the husband is not a believer, especially in the scenario of when both of them were married as unbelievers and then the wife became a Christian, now the Christian principle must now apply to her because she now has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now she can be filled with the Spirit of God to obey her own husband, even if the husband is not a believer. You mean I have to obey my husband even when he is unreasonable? Yes, because you look at verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in what? Everything. So the domain of obedience is in everything, not what you pick and choose, but in everything. Now, of course, everything here does not refer to everything in the absolute sense of the word. It does not include, of course, things that are criminal, unethical, immoral, and unbiblical. Okay? You don't have to submit if he asks you to curse Jesus Christ. You don't have to submit if he asks you to forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't accept him as Lord and Savior. If he asks you to do something that is criminal, like steal from your company, steal from this shopping center, you don't have to comply. But everything else, you have to obey. That's what it means. That's why you better take a good look at him. Are you sure you are prepared to marry him because you have to submit to him in everything? If he says, I don't want you to have long hair, you cut. Okay, Renee? You cut. Doesn't matter. You just ask him, how short, dear? And you cut. Here's the scissors. Doesn't matter. But, no but, just cut. And you cut.
That's what it means. Everything else, everything, right? You see? Because cutting hair is not immoral, right? It's just hair. Dead cells. Cut. That's what the Bible says. So are you sure you want to marry him? You have to submit yourselves to him. This is something I know many modern, so-called modern women are very, very sore. They don't like to have this at all. So they tailor and they change the marriage vow to their own detriment, to their own hurt. The Bible made it abundantly clear. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands in everything. Why? What if the husband is unreasonable? You still do it because you do it as unto the Lord. Verse 22. You do it as if you are doing it for Jesus' sake, which is exactly what you are doing. Because this is not a command from the husband. This is not an instruction from any man or any church or any government body. This is from your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who saved you, who baptized you with the Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit of God can indwell you and fill you to help you submit to your own husband so that you will bear a godly witness and testimony to him as if you are doing it to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how important it is. If you don't, you are in for a serious trouble. So therefore, young men, husbands, pray for your wife. Help her. Young men, you better look for a woman with this qualification. Forget about every other qualification. When you want to marry somebody, yes, of course, the wife must be a Christian. Obviously. She must also have the same calling as you have. Very important. Because, for example, you may be called to be a missionary to one country and she's not prepared to go. She wants to stay home. Then you can't marry her. Because you have to forsake your missionary call, which you cannot afford to do. So it's not just, you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, let's get married. It's not so simple. She must be a Christian, of course. You must have the same calling. You use the wrong criteria, you're going to in for a nightmare. And then you must make sure that she is prepared to submit herself to you in everything. That means she must respect you. This is the wife that your girlfriend you must look for. If you cannot find such a one, you are in for the trouble. You don't marry anyone you like. Marriage is not a game. Marriage is for life. You cannot be unequally yoked. Please wait patiently and seek God's will. Oh, so hard to find such a wife, you might say. So hard. God will find her for you. Please understand that. God will find her for you. You know how hard it was for Abraham to find Isaac a wife? They were in the land of Canaan, surrounded by Canaanites that were all carnal. Not one nation in the land of Canaan was godly. Zero. And they had to send Jacob all the way up to Mesopotamia in the city called Haran, find mom's relative, that is Rebekah, that was the mother of Jacob. Sorry, I beg your pardon, not Jacob. Isaac. Isaac. Find Isaac a wife. Abraham sent the servant, go all the way up there, gave him 10 camels with all the dowry that he could carry, go up there and find a wife for my son. He has a spiritual purpose from God. This woman must come and continue on the line of the Messiah that God has begun in me. Abraham understood this. And if he could not find Isaac a godly wife who will continue on the messianic line, your salvation, my salvation will be jeopardized. You know how hard it is to find a wife? In that kind of a situation, they have no internet. They do not have camera. You're going to go up there, look for a total stranger, and then ask her to leave her family, her loved ones, leave everything behind, and to follow you to go where? To Canaan, which is about 300 kilometers away. It will be a one-way trip. You probably never return to marry somebody you have never seen before in your life. True? And to stay in Canaan, to live in tent, never allowed to live inside a city because that is God's will and God's command. They must remain separate from all the nations of Canaan. Because the moment they live inside a city, the danger is they're going to lose their identity, and God cannot form for himself a nation when you have become part of the nations of the Canaanites, like Shechem or any of these nations. That's why they have to live in tent for how long? For as long as God determines. Now, how to find a woman like this? With us, it is utterly, completely impossible. So please don't think that you must go to this church and that church, and that church must have so many young women, and so that my son or my daughter can find someone because this is more probable. You don't talk about probability with God. Please. God is the God of the impossible. Please don't think that God's hands are so short that he cannot find your spouse for you. Please. You study Genesis. The servant prayed. And the moment he finished his prayer, God already sent Rebecca. And the prayer that he made was an impossible one. Because he said, Lord, not only must the woman, when I ask her for some water, give me some water from the well, but she must on her own accord, freely, willingly offer to water my camels for me. You know how much water a camel drink in one go? You do some research and then you'll be shocked. More than 10 camels. That means you need to fetch more than 1,000 liters of water to water these camels. Because she must water them until each of the 10 camels says, I don't want to drink anymore. And you know a camel can really drink. The camel can drink once through and they can walk and walk and walk and no need to drink for an entire week. That's a camel. And 10 of them. That means Rebecca must have the arms of a bodybuilder. True or not? You go up. Go up. True or not? I mean, no end, you know, 10 camels. We're not talking about one. We're talking about 10 camels. And she must volunteer to do it. Now, that was the miracle that the servant prayed for as the miracle to identify for him that this is the young lady that I must convince by God's grace and with God's help to bring her back to marry my master's son, Isaac. You want to talk about impossibility to find a wife? This is an impossibility. Not our situation. No matter how you think it's going to be impossible, it can never even come close to this scenario, isn't it? You think it is hard to find a godly Christian spouse, a wife or a godly Christian husband? This is impossible. When you only have Christians in little pockets of homes before the formation of the nation of Israel. God has his own witness through little pockets of families such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Job. How many there were, only God knows. And now you are supposed to find a spouse for this young man, and by God's grace and mercies, every step of the way was accomplished according to God's will. God chose Rebekah for Isaac. And the moment Rebekah arrived, Isaac knew. Rebekah knew. So please, you want to find a wife who is prepared to submit to you? Very often, sometimes we pray for the wife. Pray for this girl who will come. Pray for this girl. You pray for yourself. Because if God sent this young lady with this kind of godly characteristic, who is prepared to obey the Lord, to submit herself to you as unto the Lord, that means she has to be very spiritual. True? You look for spiritual qualifications in that young lady. You don't look for any of these humanistic, worldly qualifications. The moment you do, you're in serious trouble. you are barking up the wrong tree, as they say. It's like trying to find a ripe, sweet apple inside a barrel of rotten apple, or inside an orchard covered, littered with rotten apples. You look for the wrong qualifications. You'll never find one. The qualifications for a life partner is spiritual, not educational, not status, not standing a position. You want to use these qualifications, then don't be a Christian. You be a non-Christian, the non-Christian world will have all these qualifications. You are a child of God. You want the Spirit of God to fill you, and therefore it must be on His terms. God says, all right, I'm prepared to fill you and guide you and help you. And this is the kind of young lady you are supposed to marry. Someone who loves the Lord, someone who is prepared to submit to you as if she is obeying the Lord. That means she must know the Lord Jesus Christ very well. And the reason is, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. And that is the biblical basis, full stop. The biblical basis is, the husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church. Now, you, the lady, has to be spiritual in order for her to accept this reason. She has to be born again, or else verse 23 is meaningless to her. How to submit unto the Lord when she doesn't even know the Lord? So she must know the Lord, and she must know the Lord well. That means she has to be very spiritual. So you want to find a life partner, a young lady, for your wife. Make sure she knows God. She knows God's word well. Otherwise, she's not going to submit as unto the Lord. Even if she wants to, she can't. She doesn't know how. So please, make sure you look for a young lady who loves the Lord, who is prepared to submit herself unto you as if she's submitting unto the Lord. Now, how to find such a wife? The way to find such a wife. Now, before we finish, look at verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husband in everything, because the church submit herself to Christ in everything. All right? Subordinate herself to her own husband, just as the church subordinated herself to Christ in everything. So now, look at the qualification of the Christian husband. God again, likewise, can mention any of the so many qualifications of a godly husband. God also picked only one. Husbands, love your wife. That's it, very simple. Husbands, love your wives. Out of all the qualifications, God picked this one. Do you know why? Just as the woman or the wife's weakness is to usurp the authority of the husband's weakness, you know what's the husband's weakness, right? Loving more than one woman at the same time. True? That's the husband's weakness. Loving more than one woman all at the same time. Can you name one example in the Bible where you have one woman having many husbands at the same time? Zero. Can you name me a young man or a man who has many wives? The list is unending. You don't even have to think, right? So many! True? That's our problem. That's the man's problem. So in other words, young man, you want to find a godly wife who will submit herself to you, you deal with yourself. Because if you don't deal with yourself and make sure that you love only her and nobody else, and God sent her to you, you're not going to be able to recognize her because you are not spiritual enough. And when she is spiritual, she looks at you. You are so worldly and carnal, she doesn't even want to come near you. She doesn't even want to marry you. So please, when you want to look for a Christian wife, you look to yourself first. You be ready. You prepare yourself spiritually, so that when the Christian wife comes, when God sends her, you are spiritually ready. Why do you think God brought Rebecca only when Isaac was ready? Because if Isaac was not ready, Rebecca would have been rejected. God is preparing. You have to make sure that you prepare yourself. So young lady, likewise, you want to marry a godly husband, and I'm sure you do, you prepare yourself. You prepare yourself to know the Lord so that when time comes, God sends you that young man, you know that this is the man for me because he loves the Lord and I love the Lord. When both of you love the Lord, when both of you have the mind of Christ, no need to quarrel because you have the same ambition, you have the same desire, you have the same manner of bringing up children, no quarrels. When one is carnal, one is worldly, quarrel. When both are worldly, quarrel because the world has many voices. But when both are like Christ, both are godly, there's only one Christ. There's only one voice. There's only one Bible. And so when both of you have the mind of Christ, naturally, logically, no quarrel. You agree on almost everything. Isn't it true? And so when the husbands love the wives, and this love is agape love, which means unconditional, sacrificial, he will never take advantage of the wife's submission. He will never, never abuse the wife's submission. So he will not just simply ask the wife, Renee, you want to cut your hair? It's okay, it's up to you. I prefer my wife to have short hair, but it's up to you. You know that kind of thing? He will not demand, you must cut your hair. He will not do that because he will want the best for the wife. Whatever decision he makes, it will be constrained by his love for her, and to the best of his ability, he will make decisions that will, to his mind, to his heart, his motive, it will be the best for my wife according to the scriptures. That will help her to become more and more like Christ, because he must pattern his love for her after Christ. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that means he must love her to the point of giving his life for her. Now this is the kind of man that you must look for, and this is the kind of husband you must be. That means you must know the Lord Jesus Christ. Young man, you want to find a godly wife? You be godly. You want to find a godly husband? You be godly. That is the key. If you are not godly, how are you going to find a godly husband and a godly wife? Why do you think the Bible tells us to make sure that the young ladies in the church dress modestly? Why do you think the world have all their kind of fashion? Why do you think the world have to dress in such a manner to attract the men? Because they are carnal. So they use carnality. Carnal means flesh. They use carnality to attract carnal men. So that is why it is so important for Christian ladies to dress modestly, like what the Bible says, and dress yourself with godliness rather than carnality. Don't allow the external to be the attraction, because once the external disappears, your husband will also disappear because he marries you because of the external. You know, it is so sad sometimes when you read in the papers of all these tai tai, you know our tai tais, right? Married ladies in their evening years who have tons of money, they keep on going to see these doctors that will inject Botox onto them. Right? They go for all kinds of surgery to try to maintain their youthfulness, so afraid that their husband may run away and marry a younger woman. It is so heartbreaking, isn't it, to read this kind of news in the papers where they will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars year after year after year to try to pretend to be young so that the husband will not leave them. You know what kind of life, what kind of miserable life to live with this kind of burden and this kind of fear day in and day out. You don't want that kind of husband, is it? Because he cares only for carnality. He doesn't care about spirituality. The Bible tells us the external will fade away, but the internal godliness of every child of God, every woman who is a Christian, it will become more and more beautiful. What the godly husband wants to see in you is your godliness. And godliness will not grow old, will not grow wane. It will increase in beauty with every passing year. As you draw closer to the Lord, you become more and more beautiful because this is an inner beauty. And you need that kind of husband, don't you think, young ladies? Don't you want to marry that kind of husband? Or you want to marry a Botox? Seriously. You think carefully. But in order to marry that kind of husband, he is godly, he wants to see godliness in you. Likewise, the godly woman will want to see godliness in you too. Because if she wants to be godly, and she looks at you and all you care about is your Porsche and your Maserati and all your fast cars, And all you care about is how to make more and more money, more and more money. He's going to be so worldly and so carnal, she runs away from such a man. You think you can attract women using cars? Yeah, you attract a lot of women using fast cars and expensive clothes and all these big houses. But you want that kind of women? They are called worldly, carnal women. You want those? Remember, marriage is for life. Till death do us part, in sickness and in health. And you're going to seal in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. That's why God picked only these two. God knows man's weakness. That is why it is so important for men to guard yourself. You must learn to love only the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you develop this love. When you love only the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have His love and you will continue to manifest His love. And when you continue to grow spiritually, when you are ready, God will send someone. Please understand that. God will send someone when you are ready. Then you ask, why? How come my daughter can't find a husband? How come my son cannot find a wife? They are not ready. They are not ready. How are they preparing themselves? Spiritually or carnally? You ask yourself one simple question. If they are preparing themselves carnally, all they care about is study, 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 and more studies. All they care about is how to make more money, and all they care about is how to get the next master, the next doctorate, and the next this. This is the preparation for disaster. And if God sent a godly woman, the godly woman sees him, she runs. I don't want this kind of man. He's going to ruin my life. I want a godly man, but I look at him, all I see is worldliness and carnality. I stay far away from this kind of man. Don't you think so? You want to marry a godly wife, you be godly. You want to marry a godly husband, you be godly. Because he is godly, he looks at you, oh, I see a lipstick, lipstick, lipstick. Nightmare lipstick. All you care about is how to do your hair this way, that way, how you do your eyelashes, how you do your mascara, how you do your this and that. He runs away. True, isn't it true? He wants godliness because he is godly and all he cares about is godliness. When he look and look, he can't see anything. Now, please don't assume that godliness must always be cloaked. I mean, the person who is godly must be very drab looking, no makeup, you know, never comb the hair, never brush the teeth, his smile all yellow. That is not godliness. Please, don't presume those who dress properly with lipstick, they are ungodly. Please don't leave with this conclusion. So you walk around, wear your grandmother's clothes, you know, and you walk around in church, you know, just got up from bed, no need to brush your teeth, no need to wash your face, from bed to car to church. The elder could look at you, what happened? This is godliness. Reverend Quack said, no, this is not godliness. This is called unkempt. Didn't brush your teeth. You just got up from bed to car to church. This is not godliness. Please do all that you need to do. We are talking about focus. Okay, please. Everyone who comes in with lipstick are ungodly. Please don't have that conclusion. Okay, please understand this. It is your focus. You can tell. You can tell from the conversation of the person. You can tell from how this person serves in church. You can tell how this person is interested or not interested. You can tell by the person's life, the person's interests. Remember, marriage is for life. You don't jump into it blindfolded. Anybody goes. Anything is okay. It is not. How to prepare? Prepare yourself. Criteria, husband, learn to love the Lord. Then you will love the wife the way that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Please note the two purposes. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now this is what God intended for the church. He wants to sanctify the church with the word of God. That's why the word of God is so precious. And keep on sanctifying, sanctifying until one day the church here is not the local church. The church here refers to the invisible church, which is made up only of all true believers from the time of Adam right up to the time when the last believer believes before the destruction of this world. That is the church. And God will sanctify us with the word of God. So study the word of God, study the word of God, and then this church will be presented before God without spot, without wrinkle, perfect, without blemish. And God says to the Lord Jesus Christ, well done. So ought Likewise, men, husbands, to love their wives as their own bodies. In other words, you may be the head of the house. What it means is that the spiritual life of your wife is now in your care. You must help your wife to become more and more like Christ. So you must encourage your wife. You must pray for your wife. Encourage her to serve, to study God's word, to become more spiritual. Just as Christ wants the church to become more spiritual, you must want your wife to become more spiritual. And in order to do that, you have to be very spiritual. And you know that spirituality will grow. That means, Christian husband, you must make sure you study God's word and you never stop studying God's word. Because when you are spiritual, your wife will be spiritual. When you are not spiritual, how are you going to guide her and help her to be spiritual? And then when your children grow up, you want your children to be spiritual, but you are not spiritual, the wife cannot be spiritual, and therefore the children also can't be spiritual. It's impossible. And this is what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God in the husband-wife relationship. And this is what you must pray for as the man, and this is what you must pray for as the wife, as the lady. Filling of the Holy Spirit is not a warm feeling. It's not something that is highly theoretical. It is very, very pertinent and practical and very real. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, O Lord, that I may be a godly husband, that I may be spiritual. That means give me a thirst for God's word. Make it the topmost priority in your life so that you can help your wife to be spiritual, so that she will learn to love Christ, so that she will grow in the Lord Jesus Christ because she is married to you and you are encouraging her. That's what it means. It is very sad when the wife keeps on studying God's word and the husband does not. And very soon you're going to find the conflict. And when the wife knows more of God's word than the husband, and the husband says, do this, do that, she's stuck. Because the advice from the husband is more worldly than biblical, and she knows that it is not right, it is not according to scripture, she doesn't know how to tell you. Because your pride, your ego, your whatever you want to call it, will prevent her from telling you. Because she knows that if she tells you, you get upset, you get angry. But you are worldly, you do not know enough God's word. She has been studying God's word, and she has now grown to such an extent where she knows more God's word than you do. And now you tell her to do this, you tell her to do that, bring a child this way, bring a child that way. She knows that this is worldly. You have failed as the head. She is prepared to submit to you. But sometimes you make it so hard because you do not give biblical, Bible-based advice and instruction. She wants to. She wants to, with all her heart, soul, and strength and mind, to submit herself to you, to obey you as unto the Lord. But when you are not like the Lord, when you do not behave like the Lord, you don't give instruction like the Lord, it is so difficult. And yet she has to, knowing that this is not pleasing to the Lord, because you are the head. And she knows that this will be disaster. And sometimes she may have to tell you, because if this decision is so crucial, so important, that if she were to obey you, it will ruin the children's life, it will ruin and hurt her family and the testimony of Christ. She has no chance but to tell you, and you get upset, quarrel to no end. That's why it is so important for you to be spiritual, young men and all husbands. Be spiritual, because this is what you are to do. Present one day before God, your wife, without blemish. Washed by the blood of Christ, washed by the word of God. These are the only two things on earth that can sanctify us spiritually. The blood of Christ and the word of God. And this is how you must love your wife, as your own bodies, because he that loveth his wife, loveth himself. And no man ever hated his own flesh, right? But nourisheth and cherisheth it, that is, feeds it, takes care of it, even as the Lord the church. You take care of your own body, 1 + 1 = 1. Now take care of your wife. Just as you take care of your own body. Feed her, not just physical food, but spiritual food. Encourage her and help her. Now, this is the man that you must train and prepare your son for if you want your son to find a godly wife. Because if he is not, all he knows is how to love the world, you are in trouble. He better not be married. He better remain single, because he's going to ruin his own life and another person's life as well. Because he is going to give her nightmare. You know how sad and how scary it is sometimes to counsel husbands and wives. And sometimes these husbands and wives, they've been married for 40, 50 years. They're older than me. And they're thinking of separation and divorce. So please don't think that because we have been married for so many years, we are immune from all this. No one is immune. please don't think that just because we've been married for so many years, we will never end up in divorce. Our classmate in seminary in America one day came to our home, knocked on the door quite late at night. He opened the door and he was downcast. I asked him what happened. My mom and dad, they've been married for what, 40, 50 years, just told all of us, all the children, that they are going to get a divorce. Grandparents, many times over. And I say, what happened? Why? Well, they revealed to us, they finally told us that the reason why we remained married was for the sake of the children. And our agreement for staying married was that once the children have all grown up, have families of their own, we will divorce. And that's exactly what they did. They divorced when they were grandparents. So please do not presume and take each other for granted. Oh, as long as we have been married for so many years, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary. Oh, we are okay. Nobody is okay because we keep changing, remember? And sometimes if you do not change for and more for Christ, like Christ, according to the scriptures, you're going to become more like the world. Please don't think that you will not become like the world. There are a lot of old ladies who have retired, who do not work. They are in casinos. It's in the newspaper. And the children say, well, our mom just stays home. She likes to go to casino. Every month we give her $1,000-$2,000 and just let her spend in the casino. Just boom, 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 and waste everything away. That's what they do. Please don't think that we've been married for so long, everything is okay. You continue to work at it. How to work at it? Become more and more like Christ. Three verses for the wife. Verse 25 all the way for the husbands. You notice that? How many verses for the husbands? The husbands need more instruction. Because more often than not, the husband who is the head, when you've experienced failures in the home, it is primarily the husband's fault. So when the husband and the wife have a quarrel, who should make the first move? Pray tell. Always the husband. You know that, right? Because he's the head. The spiritual well-being of the home is in his hands. And therefore, he has to pray and ask God to help him. Lord, please help me to love my wife more and more at this time, especially after we quarrel. Please help us to reconcile. Please make a way possible that we may reconcile and make up. Help me. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be a godly husband. That's what it means to be the head of the house. The whole spiritual life and the well-being of the home is under your charge, is in your care. And God will hold you accountable one day. You'll stand before Him and God will ask you, how have you been as a Christian husband, as a Christian father? Because you are the head. And if you fail the Lord will take you to task. I have entrusted you to take care of this family whom you have prayed for and I have blessed you with. And now what have you done? You have ruined it. You have messed it up. They are supposed to be spiritual and you have pushed and pointed them in the direction of the world. And now look at them. Look at them. You could have done so well. All you need to do is to follow the word of God. And I have given you the Spirit of God to aid you, to help you, to strengthen you. You don't have to traverse this journey alone. I am there for you all the days of your life, only if you choose to do so. If you continue to have a rebellious heart, you want your own way, you want to be full of self and self-will, you're going to pay the price. Remember, redeeming the time. You don't have many more years. Tick-tock, tick-tock, remember? Whatever that has been wasted, it's gone forever. Repent, and whatever time you have left, fix it. Please, husbands and wives. Young people, you want to find a godly life partner, prepare godliness in yourself right now. Please, otherwise, you're going to make the mistakes of many of us. Please don't. It's painful. Very painful. Please don't. For we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. Jesus, by the inspiration of God, inspired the Apostle Paul to mention in verse 30 a phrase that was coined by Adam and Eve. Remember Genesis chapter 2 when he first met Eve, when God introduced Eve to Adam. After he put him to sleep, took a rib out of him and created Eve out of the rib. And when he woke up, he saw the wife, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. That's exactly how God now wants every husband and wife to regard one another. The curse has been lifted, young ladies. don't need to quarrel and usurp the authority of the home. God says you can submit. And husbands, don't have any eyes for any other woman outside of your wife. Follow after Christ. Christ has no one else except his church, the church that he died for and paid the ultimate price for. Keep your eyes only on your wife. Nobody else. You can and you must, because your Lord Jesus Christ did it, and you are to pattern it after him. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now this is very important. Please note, the Bible did not ask the woman to leave father and mother, only the man. Do you know why? God makes no mistakes. This was given before the fall. This is found in Genesis, the last couple of verses of Genesis chapter 2. That means, who was Adam's parent? God. So when God gave this instruction to Adam and Eve, leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife. In other words, every Christian parent, you must teach your son to leave father and mother and cleave unto your wife if he wants to get married. So it's not for the son to tell the parents, it's the parents to tell the son. You want to get married, son? This is the sequence. When you are with me, when you are young, you are in the dependent stage. And as you grow, as you mature, you must enter into the independent stage before you can talk about interdependence, right? When you find a wife, you enter into an interdependent stage whereby your feelings and emotions will not only be your own to manage. You have to manage now the feelings and emotions of the other party that you plan to marry. So when the girlfriend cry and face some problem at home or in the office, you cannot say, don't call me, mind your own business, this is my, you can't. When you are involved in another person, the other person's feelings and emotions will now be yours as well. That's called the interdependent stage. You cannot skip from dependence, mommy, daddy, and then jump the independent and bypass it and then straight enter into interdependence. It will not work. It will not work. There was this young couple who was about to get married. And so the parents of this young man said to the son, hey, you know in Dover Road, there's this tower block. That's where they stay. Two floors above us, they are selling the flat. Why don't you buy? You and your fiancé, you buy, and then after you get married, you can stay. 2-3 floors above us. So convenient. Good, right? And so they bought the place, so convenient, both agreed, so they got married and they moved in. After they got married, the mom said to the son, your both of you go to work, you must be so tired and exhausted. After, why don't you come down to our place to have dinner, and then after you just go up. So convenient. Yeah, okay, so convenient. Then after a few months of coming home for dinner and then go up, then the mother said, both of you wake up, you're all rushed, so busy. Why don't you just come down for breakfast? So convenient, right? Oh, so convenient. So come down for breakfast and then go to work, come down here for dinner and then finish and go out. Wow, so convenient. After 1 year like this, the wife of this young man says, I think this is not marriage. Our home is just like a hotel. We have to move out and go somewhere else far away from your mom and dad. Right? I mean, this is not marriage. We have to move out and stay far away from mom and dad so that we can have our own home, we can do what people are supposed to do, right? Buy our own groceries, do our own laundry, do it. We are supposed to do like that. We're supposed to be a home. But this is not a home. We have to. When the mother of this young man found out, she broke down. She cried and she begged the son, please don't leave me, son. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Then the wife said, we have to go. We have to go. Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. So how? How's the son going to decide? You know Chinese thinking, right? I only have one mother. I can find another one. Right? Chinese thinking, right? Right? You know what he did, right? He divorced the wife. He stayed with the mother. I'm not kidding. This is reality. This actually happened. Okay? Why do you think God says? You want your son to get married, you push him out. You teach him independence. If he keeps on sticking to you, mommy, daddy, you can forget it, okay? You forget about getting married, mommy, daddy, You know why? Because this is my son. His entire life, there's only one woman in his life, and that is mommy. True or not? And then now you have another woman he wants to marry, and this woman now, married to him, now this woman is going to be his new mommy, you know. Isn't that true? Now she will have to cook for him, she will have to do his laundry, she will have to do this, do that. And if the mommy sees it, no, my son doesn't like it this way. No, my son likes it this way. No, my son. You think the new mommy is going to care? They're going to quarrel. Isn't that true? That's what the son has to tell mommy. Please, mom, I am married to my wife, so please don't. I still love you very much. I will always love you very much, but please let me go. In other words, it is the young man who must now be prepared to leave mommy and daddy. If he is not prepared, don't get married. Don't get married. Very simple. Dependent, independent, interdependent. You can't change this sequence. You skip the independent, then you're still dependent, and you want to be independent, disaster. So you want your son to get married, you want the son to find a godly wife. Number one, teach him independence. Number two, we are talking about emotional independence, we are talking about mental independence, not just physical. Sometimes physical separation may help, but that is not always the case. It's okay for the husband, for the wife, and the family of the husband to stay together if the man already learns independence, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But if that is not possible and you require physical separation in order for this to become a reality, then do it. Because no matter what, the Bible tells us, let no man put asunder this marriage. No man, only God can, and that is by death. Not even the mom, not even the dad. That is why God says to the man, didn't say to the woman. That's why when the marriage ceremony comes, who giveth this woman to this man? The parents is prepared to give. Now remember, the father has always been the protector of the daughter. The father is the one who is prepared to die for the daughter, to take care, to provide everything for the daughter. And now he is prepared to give her to you, hoping that you will do the same that he has done. Die for her, protect her, feed her, take care of her, because this is the way of life. He knows he's not going to live forever. And he knows that once he is gone, he wants to make sure that his precious daughter that he's prepared to die for, whom he has lived for, worked so hard to provide everything for her, and he is prepared to hand her over to you, provided that you will do exactly what he has done. Die for her, love her, care for her, till you die. But you cannot do that if you keep on, mamia. You can't. You have to leave father and mother in order to do this and cleave unto the wife. The word cleave there is to glue. You know what is glue, right? This is called super glue. You glue, cannot separate one. That's the word. To cleave means to glue. Literally, no kid. That's the word. Join means glue to the wife, and two shall be one flesh. So prepare yourself spiritually and prepare yourself to make sure that you are separated from mom and dad. If you are not, please do not get married. It's okay not to be married and spend your whole life as a single person serving the Lord. It's okay. But if you plan to get married, you be godly and you follow the biblical principle. You find it hard, pray and ask the Spirit to fill you, to help you. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. The mystery simply means that which has been kept hidden, now revealed, and God has given us the understanding because God has taught it to us, because we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, our eyes have been illumined. So God now used the husband-wife relationship and his relationship, Christ's relationship with the church, as parallels. Christ has only one church. Husband, you must only have one wife. Christ died for the church. You must be prepared to die for your wife. Christ loved the church unconditionally, sacrificially. You must love your wife unconditional, sacrificially. Final conclusion, nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife reverence, respect, honor your husband. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, to be a Christian wife, and a Christian husband. For all of us who are married, please make sure that this is followed. For young people who are not married, please prepare yourself. Find a life partner whereby this will become a reality in your life. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for the revelation of Thy Holy Word. For we know that in our society, the basic unit of every society is the family. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for the families that You have given to us and brought to the church. And when the families are holy and godly, the society is holy and godly. Likewise, when the families in Sydney BP Church are holy and godly, husbands loving their wives and wives submitting to their own husbands as unto the Lord, the church will be holy and godly. We pray, O Lord, that You will guide all these young people, the young people in the church, that they will not rush into matters, but that they will learn patience and long-suffering and to wait upon the Lord and for His will to be accomplished in their life. And if You have called them to be married, help them, O Lord, to prepare themselves in a godly manner, that they may understand what it means to be a godly wife and a godly husband in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when You send the right person into their lives, they will be ready. For we know that as our loving Heavenly Father, our lives and our future are in Your loving hands, and You will always give to Your children the very best. May we be obedient to Holy Scriptures, and when we are weak, O Lord, may we never, never forget that You are always there for us, to lead us, to guide us, and to help us. Fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, that we may truly be godly wives and godly husbands, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.